The opinions expressed in Locked and Loaded are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome back to the Locked and Loaded podcast. I'm your host, Brady Locke, and today we have another very special episode as I am here with another one of my good friends. I know I say that every time, but I love having my great friends here on this podcast. And today I'm joined by Alex Casullo, one of my great buddies that I have met in the past year. Alex, how are you today?
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for having me. I host my own podcast, and then you started one for Spirit Live, and we finally had two collaboration episodes now. You were on mine last week, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the host of Graps and Goals. You can find him at 5:10 p.m. on Thursdays. Yep. Go check it out. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, so this is actually going to be likely my finale for Spirit Live this semester. So make sure you guys tune in, and as always, you can catch me on YouTube and Spotify throughout the summer, but we will make an appearance back on Spirit Live next year, so in September. But as for now, YouTube and Spotify will continue to be the main platforms for Locked and Loaded. But without further ado, Alex, let's get right into this.
All right.
As we do on the Locked and Loaded podcast, we're going to start things off with a sports warm-up. And you being a sport media student, we have lots to talk about, and I know we have some very aligning interests when it comes to sports.
Of course.
So I think the only right way to start it off will be talking about tennis. And let's start it off. What does tennis mean to you, and actually particularly, who does tennis mean to you?
Okay. So... last year, Roland Garros final, Sinner versus Alcaraz. That was the first tennis game I pretty much watched start to finish ever. And I'm like, wow, an Italian is doing well. And obviously me being Italian, I wanted to root for him. And then Alcaraz just went beast mode and came back against him, and it was very heartbreaking. But ever since then, after seeing Sinner very sad, I'm like, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to follow this sport. And then a few days later, I went to the tennis court for the first time.
Yeah, man, what a way to start watching tennis. That match was absolutely incredible. But Jannik Sinner, you've modeled your game around him. What does Jannik Sinner like mean to you?
Oh, he's probably, as of right now, my favorite athlete in the world.
Yeah.
Obviously him pretty much have similar builds as well. He's just a tall, skinny guy and, Italian. So, I mean, yeah, just the way he is on and off the court, just a very humble guy. But then as soon as he enters the court, you know, he just pretty much switches his personality entirely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So taking a look here at the tennis in the current present time, we're just getting into the clay swing, which is
very exciting.
Very exciting. Yep. Yeah. So you're going to see Roland Garros eventually. That's the clay grand slam. But right now, next week is going to be the Monte Carlo Masters, which is the first 1,000 event on clay this year. And I want to ask you, who other than Jannik Sinner stands a chance?
I think within all of clay season, I think Zverev is going to win one. That's my hot take. I mean, if you watch that game in the semifinals against Sinner, he arguably played better than Sinner. And it's just those, like the break points he had. He just can't capitalize on those, but his serve is still phenomenal. And if he can just get his return game a little bit better, I can definitely see him winning one. How about you?
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you asked. I definitely think Musetti will get one. Yeah. He's tremendous on clay. We saw him last year in the Monte Carlo finals, up a set against Alcaraz, and then he lost the next two. Mm-hmm. I think he will get his revenge and win a 1,000 event here. But I also... my hot take is actually Italian, Luciano Dardari. He is a clay master. He loves any event with clay. He doesn't do nearly as good on a hard court, but clay, he is a wizard. I think he will I think he'll make a semifinal at least. I could see him making a final.
I can see that.
Yeah, winning one. Yeah. Who else do you support? I know you're a big Capitals fan.
Yep. Washington okay. Capitals. It's my hockey team. I've slowed down on watching hockey ever since I picked up tennis.
Yeah.
Because usually went soccer and then hockey, but now it's tennis then soccer.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I've been a Capitals fan my entire life. My name being Alexander, obviously, I loved Ovechkin. I still love him. He's my favorite athlete of all time. And yeah, just following him throughout my entire life, playing hockey, wearing the number 8, having yellow laces. Yeah, and then them winning in 2018. That was still probably the best sport moment in my life that I've experienced.
Wow. And how much do you think Ovechkin has left in him?
I'd say if he doesn't retire at the end of this year, which maybe he will, I think he has one more.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to kind of transition from your fandom into growing up sports. What did you kind of play? What got you into it all?
Yeah, so, I mean, all credit to my dad. He was the one who put me on hockey right away. I think when I was 3 years old, I started skating. And then my mom and my dad, I mean, they've sacrificed so much. And I'm so grateful for everything they did, because the amount of driving it took, we've definitely spent like over 100 days just in the car itself. Yeah.
The viewers might now be wondering, who is this guy? Who is this big tennis, Arsenal, hockey fan? Who is Alex Cassullo?
He's just a tall, skinny guy who likes to yap about sports.
There you go.
To be honest.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So what's growing up, like what made you who you are growing up in Pickering? How was that lifestyle growing up?
I mean, in Pickering, it was actually very fun. You know, elementary school, those are probably like the best moments in my life, I'd say. All the friends I've made, all the experience that I had, with soccer as well and hockey, because I played house league soccer a majority of the time. I was playing rep hockey, and just playing both of them, making so many friends and teammates. It was honestly a great experience. And yeah, just for school, I think elementary school stands out the most to me out of anything in Pickering, because yeah, just the friends I made, the experiences I've had. But yeah, I would say, when I think of Pickering, I just think of the good times in elementary school more than anything.
Really? Okay. Yeah. See, I like that. I like that. So then what kind of made you decide to come here? What's the story behind coming to this program?
So in grade 7, we had a careers project where, I don't know if every school did this, but we did. So whoever was in grade 7, we had to do a presentation. We had to use like one of like those... like those cardboard things that have like the 3 sections on it, and like you stand it, and we had to choose what we wanted to be when we grew up. And when I was looking at some of the career opportunities, I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to do this, don't want to do this. And I'm like, listen, if sports doesn't work out, because you know, I wanted to play hockey when I was younger, but that wasn't in the plan. So I looked around, I looked at all the different opportunities, and nothing stuck out until I saw what a sports broadcaster is. And since then, I created, like in grade 7 for my assignment, I put sports broadcaster as my career choice, and I just haven't looked back since. And I knew that TMU had this sport media program, and I just manifested getting in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So was it you applied and you just got in first try?
Yep.
Awesome, man. See, that's great. So then to go from there, how did we meet? I want you to take us all through that story of how, you know, we got connected.
So this was Shireen's class last semester. Yeah. It was called about journalism.
Sports journalism.
Yeah. I was sitting in front of you. I don't think we spoke at all.
No.
In the last, the first year? I don't think we even said one word to each other.
No,
which is crazy, because we had like maybe one or two classes.
Yeah, we had audio production. I know we had audio production together. Yeah.
But yeah, so I was sitting in front of you. I was watching a tennis game on my laptop, and then you were behind me, and I remember you on Laurel's online class. You spoke in front of the class and said, "Oh, I really like tennis." I'm like, "Oh, someone else likes tennis? No way."
It's rare. It's rare to find.
So yeah. After that, I'm like, oh, do you play tennis? He's like, yeah, I played it and I watch it a lot. So then ever since then, I mean, this is the reason we're here right now, which is insane.
Man, you know, tennis brought us together. Tennis is what makes us, you know.
Exactly.
So what are your kind of thoughts on the program thus far? How do you like it?
I love it so much. The hands-on classes especially.
Yeah.
Ryan Sykes' class with the sports broadcasting, all that, just being on camera, I love it so much. Just sitting at that desk, getting to yap away about sports or reading off the teleprompter. Mm. That's just what I wanted to do since grade 7.
It's the dream.
And the fact that I get to do it now, it's actually so crazy to think about because, yeah, I just manifested it. I always wanted this to happen. And yeah, just every time I'm sitting on that desk, I'm just super grateful, super happy.
Yeah. But going forward, back to you, what growing up was kind of some of your biggest struggles in life? What did you struggle with?
Yeah. I would say I was very, high school especially, I was pretty antisocial. I would always, kind of just like be in the back of the class, not really talk to a lot of people, pretty shy. I would say... some difficulty focusing as well because I do have ADHD. So that's always been a challenge because I think I've had it since about grade 3. I think that's when I got diagnosed with it. So it was just always that, like focusing. I just always tried to figure out some ways to navigate around it. And it was a big struggle in high school, but I got past it. But now I just like... I see the ADHD as something that can help me rather than a weakness.
Yeah.
So that would say that would probably be the biggest struggle I had early on in my life, yeah. I'd say.
That's amazing. Kind of flip that now. What's this something I always ask right after is what's some of your biggest motivators in life?
For me, I would say my brother more than Adam.
John Anthony.
More than anyone. Shout out John Anthony Casullo.
Yes.
My king. Yeah, like... Pretty much my entire life, he's had probably the biggest influence on my life. He brought me into so many different things, like soccer, for example. It was him that watched it first, and I got into it because of him. A lot of video games as well, which is a huge hobby of mine. I always copied whatever he was playing, and yeah, just whatever he's doing. You know, right now he's at George Brown for sport marketing. You know, he's doing his thing, very proud of him. And he does have a very bright future ahead of him. I know it.
Yeah.
And just to, my goal is just to, you know, match him. Because obviously I'm a very competitive person, no matter what. And whatever he's doing, you know, I want to to either match it or try my best to, or even do better.
There you go.
Because that's my job as a younger brother, just to elevate ourselves.
Yeah.
And then, I'd say... my mom and my dad, obviously, I mean, they have done absolutely everything for me. My mom, she's a stay-at-home mom. So she's always cleaning at the house. She's always working on whatever family stuff needs to be done, driving us everywhere. So without her, I mean, my whole house collapses.
Yeah.
Right? So she's always making sure everything's balanced and we can go off and do our things with little to no issues.
Yeah.
And then my dad obviously working at BMO here downtown. It's great. I get to take the train home with him sometimes. And with his job, he always motivated us talking about his day at work, about what he needs to do better, what they need to do better. And he's always, you know, giving us life lessons with it. And that's stuff we can just use for the rest of our lives. So I would definitely say family is the number one thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, that's a common theme with everybody that I have on this podcast. It's always family. And like I said last episode, you know, I love to hear that because family is so important. And when you have those pillars in your life that are motivating you, you're always going to be set up for success. Mm-hmm. So any advice is my next question. Any advice for somebody starting this sport media program or maybe even just university in general, what would you tell them?
If you don't want it, don't do it. That's what I'm going to say. like, especially in sport media itself, if you're not a go-getter, it's going to be very difficult. And that's something I learned, because last year, you know, I was kind of slacking off a little bit. But this year is when we learned, especially like with you, like how many emails you've sent, reaching out to people, cold emails. And that's just what you have to do now. So if you're not going to give 100% effort, I mean, it's kind of it's just disrespectful to yourself, because
absolutely,
you need to go for it. This is your future you're talking about here. Yeah. You're going to university, going to college, whatever. And yeah, you would probably regret it for the rest of your life if you didn't live up to your full potential, because that's obviously the biggest fear I have in my life, not living up to my full potential. So in order to do that, you know, even though sometimes it may be I may be shy, or I may you know, be a little bit scared to reach out to people, I know later down the line that's what you need to do.
Yeah, like I said, you know, take those risks, and you know, if you make a mistake, you know, it's just a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice, though. I actually want to take a second and recognize the friendship we've built with Chris and Marcus.
Yes.
We got to mention Chris and Marcus. What do they mean to you, and how did you guys become friends, actually?
So we met in Ryan's class, the sports broadcasting class, second semester of year one. So I met them just before I met you. And man, they've been amazing. You know, I was looking for, especially after the first semester of year one, I'm like, I didn't really have a core group of people in our program yet. So I was still figuring it out. And then I'm pretty sure it was Chris that approached me in Sykes' class, wanted to start up a conversation. I'm like, wow, Chris is just an amazing guy, Italian guy. And then Marcus was with him, talked to Marcus a bit, and then he's also a great guy. So yeah, that just became like a little trio in Sykes's class. And then Chris was friends with you before that, and Marcus, they were friends with you in the audio class, which I was in, but I didn't talk to you guys yet. I didn't know you. So then Chris and Marcus, you know, they just brought me closer to you as well. And that's just what formed it.
Yeah, no, it's great. And especially like you guys being commuters, it definitely feels like it's harder to, you know, have time to like, talk to new people and make friends. But, you know, I really enjoy having you guys as friends. And
likewise.
Yeah, even with all the friends that I have here, I think you guys are definitely like some of my closest. So it's really, really great.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about, because Chris's father and my mom used to work together.
Really?
Which is insane. Like, the world is so small, man.
So small.
It's so crazy to think about. Because when I told my mom, like, oh, you know, Chris Colangelo is one of the friends I made. She's like, Colangelo? I recognize that last name. And then he's like, what's his father's name? I'm like, okay. I text Chris. He says, Fortunato. And I'm like, told my mom. She's like, no way. I used to work with him.
There you go.
So yeah, no, we have that connection already. So
that's wild.
Actually insane.
Such a small world, man.
Yeah.
I think before we go, I want to do a fun little sports segment here. I am going to give you a bracket.
Ooh,
I'm going to give you a bracket of 8 sports individuals, and you're going to basically go head-to-head until we get to your, I could say, you can take it however you want. If you want it to be like greatest skill level, greatest all time, your favorite, whatever. Okay. But I'm going to give you 8 kind of like Alex Casulo individuals in their bracket.
Let's see it.
First matchup, we have Randy Orton
versus
Kai Havertz.
Oh.
That's a great matchup.
He's my favorite player on Arsenal. I love Kai, but I'm going to be completely honest here. It's Randy Orton.
I figured as much.
Yeah.
Okay. Next matchup. Cody Rhodes versus Jannik Sinner. And I don't know if this is even a question. This would be my number one seed, obviously.
So Cody Rhodes, I mean, a crazy story about him is his entrance song. That was like my number one pre-game song for so many years. In hockey, when he was in AEW, I heard it for the first time, and then I would play it right before I got on the ice every game.
Okay.
And that's how I really started to love Cody. But we're talking, you know, like my favorite right now, Cody hasn't been doing his best work the last year, and Sinner has just, I've just been glued to the TV every time he's on.
Oh, look at this guy.
So I'm going to go with my fellow Italian, Yannick Sinner.
Fair enough. I knew that was kind of coming. Okay, so then next we have, so this will be the other side. We will have the great eight, Alexander Ovechkin versus Roman Reigns. Again, I don't know if this is a question.
So I followed Roman Reigns in the big dog era when everyone hated him.
Yeah.
And then obviously what he's doing now is amazing. He pretty much had the company on his back for all of COVID, and he's the reason they got the Netflix deal. He's the reason they're so big now. But it's Alex Ovechkin. I mean, I've said so much about him already. Love him so much.
Of course. Okay. So then this will be the last matchup here on the right side. We have Donnarumma, the Italian goalkeeper, stud of a man, versus Iga Swiatek. I know she's your favorite women's tennis player. Alex, I feel like this is a closer matchup. Who do we have here?
Well, Donnarumma, you know, what he did for us in the Euros and penalties, I'll never forget. But at the same time, you know, he saved Saka's penalty, and that's my star boy, plays for Arsenal. So he hurt his feelings a little bit. And kind of let the country down on penalties, you know, could have saved at least two. And he plays for Manchester City.
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah. I was just thinking, this is actually tough.
So I would say...
it's got to be Iga.
I would say Iga.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have the final four here. We are going to see Randy Orton matching up against Yannick Sinner. This one feels tough. This could have been the finals. This is tough.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
So, we're talking, you know, right now, I've watched much more Sinner than I have Randy Orton.
Right.
But I'm basing this off of my entire life here, because Randy... been following him for my entire life, since I was 4 years old. And I love Yannick. He's my favorite athlete right now. But I think I'm taking Randy Orton over Yannick.
Wow. Okay, in my opinion, this feels like an upset, but I could be wrong. Holy. So we have Randy going to the finals, and who will he see in the finals? Will it be Alexander Ovechkin or Iga Swiatek?
Sorry, Iga. I mean, it's Ovechkin.
Yeah. I figured as much. I'm not going to waste any time there. We are in the finals. Randy, the Alex Casulo Sports Professional Finals, Randy Orton versus Alexander Ovechkin. Alex, what an interesting matchup. Who is going to take this?
Oh, man. See, I love them both so much. I'd say both of them are in my...
your childhood.
My top three favorite athletes of all time, Messi being the other one.
Yep. I didn't even have Messi in this bracket.
It's okay. I'd say this would probably still be the final anyways if Messi was in here.
Yeah.
It's difficult because, you know, I love Randy so much. But, I mean, I think the winner still in my heart and always will be, it'll be Alex Ovechkin. Who takes it?
So Alex Ovechkin takes the cake and is arguably Alex's favorite athlete, most skilled athlete. Is that what we're saying?
He's my favorite athlete of all time.
Okay. Yeah. So Alex Ovechkin, the great eight. You know, I feel like being named after Alex Ovechkin, you kind of...
Of course. I mean, we're both named after our favorite athlete, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's coming down to Drake May and Tom Brady for me, you know, that's... I gotta say Tom Brady.
Of course.
Wow. That, I feel like that's a great way to send us off here. Alex, this has been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. This
on
is a
this
lot
podcast.
Of fun.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming again. So this is going to do it for me on Spirit Live this semester, most likely. Watch out, there could be a bonus episode, but make sure you guys stay tuned. We're going to be bringing you episodes of Locked and Loaded all summer long. The guests are only going to get better. Don't think we're peaking now because we have so much we haven't even grasped at yet. But this has been Brady Locke. That is Alex Casulo. And this has been Locked and Loaded. So make sure you come back where the chats are always loaded. and we are always locked. I will see you guys in the next one. Peace.